Hello and welcome to Affiliate, the CW podcast. Download our app to stay up to date with the latest labour and trade union news. Search for Affiliate CWU in your app store.
In late January, the headlines were once again dominated by the topic of gambling. At the centre of this particular controversy was a report by the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Betting and Gaming, which considers itself the core body for overseeing gambling in Parliament. In this latest tangling and miring for the gambling industry, the report agreed that changes were needed in the way Britain deals with gambling. Unfortunately, the findings of the report that were leaked to the journalist Rob Davis seemed to show that the change they were after wasn't the sort of change that I think the vast majority of ordinary people would expect or indeed demand. In his Guardian article into what he saw of the report, it seems a serious aim was taken at the Gambling Commission, the government's regulatory body for the industry. From what you can pick up, it seems that the commission is being attacked by them for its commitments to reduce problem gambling too seriously. Laughably, the commission was criticised for showing an apparently bullying attitude towards the gambling industry, boldly claiming that big industry players have suffered quote-unquote mental harm as a result of the commission's actions to limit the power of gambling companies. As you'd expect, the report proved to be yet another PR disaster in recent times for these advocates of unreformed gambling. Within a short time, resignations from the APPG came thick and fast, including from Conor McGinn, its Labour vice chair, who didn't want to be associated with these findings. Now, it can't be doubted that gambling has a big part to play in British national life. If you count the National Lottery, 24.5 million people, that's about half the adult population, engaged in some form of gambling in 2018. Throughout 2020, government statistics claim that over £14.2 billion worth of profit was generated in Britain for gambling companies. It's huge revenue. But while many people's relationship to gambling is relatively non-committal and relatively harmless, the dangers are incredibly obvious. And since scientists have established that the neurological feeling from gambling is incredibly similar to that of taking drugs, the propensity to turn a habit into an addiction is always real. In quite an ominous move, the Tory Lib Dem government got rid of the British Gambling Prevalence Survey, a once every 3 years data collecting exercise where over 7,000 people were contacted to discuss gambling, and in doing so, trying to detect rates of the prevalence of problem gambling in the population. While this has been another vital part of the social fabric that's been wiped out by austerity, some questions and stats related to gambling can be found in the health survey. Though the data isn't as rigorous, it is still undeniably alarming. It predicts that around 1.4 million people are addicted to gambling, with about 2 million more being at serious risk. It's also been reported in the past few weeks that up to 1 million women are at risk from being harmed by gambling, with the number of female gambling addicts jumping from 1,134 in 2015 to 2,432 in 2020. It's been remarked on that gambling is one of the most intense forms of addiction you can have. For anyone who's stuck in this hell, there are massive, massive consequences on your money situation and your mental well-being. It can destroy relationships, cost you your job, and there's not even a natural limit to what you can lose, since you can just become indebted, which is something of a burgeoning industry in this country. The situation can just get worse and worse and worse, and you can do it all in secret from the people who care about you. It's an incredibly extractive addiction. Even recovery, you'll be taking years to pay back your debts. Now, one person who has suffered in this situation terribly is Matt Zapp Cousin, who is a long-standing campaigner for a more regulated gambling system. Known more widely for his role working as a spokesperson and aide to Jeremy Corbyn, Matt is also active in groups like the Campaign for Fairer Gambling and Clean Up Gambling, who seek to fight for lasting and humane changes in how betting operates in this country, reforms that they rightly reckon are long overdue. At the age of 16, as a mere underager, Matt had his first go at fixed odds betting terminals, fairly innocent looking machines that wouldn't look out of place at a penny arcade, but let you play games traditionally found at fairly high-end casinos, like roulette.
I went into a betting shop to put a bet on a football match. I was underage. There was no age verification then. Just started playing the roulette machine and won like 10 quid or something, and thought I could do it again, and went back and won quite a lot of money in the beginning. There's one of the first few sessions, I won like 600 quid, and that was like a massive amount of money for any 16 year old in 2006. It felt like I won the lottery.
This unexpected turn of so-called luck put Matt on a bad route, as he felt the buzz of the win for the first time, and he started having more and more of a go. As he dived deeper into a highly addictive pastime, Matt remembers how his sense of reality quickly started becoming skewed. The sort of gambling culture that was allowed to prevail at the turn of this century was one where you could bet 100 quid every 20 minutes in most high streets in most places, and the teenage Matt spiralled out of control.
It basically cleaned me out. I lost about between 15,000 and 20,000 pounds. Got into a huge amount of debt, which took me very many years to pay off. I actually only paid it off a year before I started working for Jeremy, which is 2015. So it took me about 5 years to pay it all off. And I was completely addicted, and it drove me to the point of kind of wanting to take my own life.
Thankfully, Matt overcame his addiction, but the experience had radicalised him to some degree. He began to clue himself up more widely on the question of gambling in Britain. Soon, he realised he was far from the only person who had sadly felt the hard end of a system with pitifully little regulation. He began to think about fighting for change and began campaigning. And alongside other activists, Matt was instrumental in mobilising public opinion and strong political sentiment that led to the amazing decision in 2018 to cut the maximum stake on fixed odds betting terminals from £100 a spin to a greatly improved £2.
Yeah, so we started campaigning against fixed odds betting terminals in 2013, and wanted to build obviously cross-party support for a reduction in the maximum stake to £2 a spin, something that the government could do with secondary legislation. It's quite easy to enact if they wanted to do it. So obviously, we tried to build as much support as we could in Parliament. We created national and local media stories related to the amount that was lost in each constituency and each local authority area. Off the back of that, we tried to get councils on board, local councils, councillors would pass motions opposing fixed odds betting terminals. And eventually we had about 93 different councils that supported the change to £2 a spin, just because they'd seen like the impact on their communities and the clustering of betting shops that arose from the maximum of 4 machines per shop. So they would open like several betting shops on a high street to circumvent this, and the machines were so lucrative. And yeah, so we eventually got coalesced all of these councils around the Sustainable Communities Act proposal, which was led by Newham Council, and that was obviously one strand of the campaign. And then we had manifesto commitments from the Labour Party in 2017 under Jeremy. We had the review of fixed odds betting terminals that was carried out by Theresa May's administration, in particular Tracy Crouch. Tracy Crouch was the gambling minister. She was very supportive of, or she acknowledged the dangers of fixed odds betting terminals while she was a backbencher. So we built this brilliant like cross-party coalition, and we had huge support in the media by the end. You know, lots of the major national newspapers supported us. And yeah, it was a fantastic kind of case study of like what you can do in a single issue campaign if you kind of put party political allegiances to one side and you just try to coalesce around a single objective.
And it's the same spirit of the offensive which is guiding his latest push for gambling reform. After having got a foot through the door, I wondered what sort of change Matt and other gambling campaigners want to see emerging in the future, particularly as the government's white paper on gambling is expected to drop in the coming months. It seems a bit of a recurring theme when you start noticing that people who want regulation and a bit of ethics in our gambling laws, they're often labelled by people who profit very handsomely as killjoys or even people who simply don't understand working class culture. But really, from what I can tell, what they're fighting for, it hardly sounds radical.
I mean, it's like I get called all sorts by the gambling lobby, but I mean, what I'm asking for, pushing for, is not it's not like anything that you would look out of place in another industry. I mean, stake limits for online slots, where there's no stake limits at the moment. I mean, in venue-based gambling machines, there are stake limits. I mean, if you're going to bring an analog legislation into the digital age, stake limits on online slots, £2 a spin, where it is an easily accessible gambling venues, that's not a particularly extreme policy ask. And that's one of the things. I think it'd make a massive difference, by the way. Online slots generates like more than half of gross revenue. So it's an incredibly addictive product. So that'd make a massive difference. Then like an ombudsman for consumer complaints. At the moment, you can complain to the Gambling Commission if you don't get paid out or you don't get treated properly by a gambling operator, but they don't take that complaint on your behalf. They might take enforcement action, but you'll never hear from them, and you won't even know if your complaint's been taken forward. So just a basic consumer ombudsman would be quite nice. That's one of the things we're pushing for. I think restrictions on advertising around football, particularly, where children are very exposed to gambling ads and they're growing up with a very skewed perception of what gambling is about and the relationship between gambling and football. I think that's a pretty much a no-brainer, particularly before the watershed. I think more money for research, education and treatment, and crucially, an independently administered levy to fund it. At the moment, the gambling industry funds its favourite charities and they spend money on things that don't rock the boat too much. So you end up with this quite ridiculous ecosystem of organisations and entities which are quite reluctant, let's say, to call out some of the practices that are leading to the harms that these entities are actually trying to clear up. So it's quite a ridiculous system that's been in place for, well, since the 2005 Gambling Act, where the gambling industry chooses which entities they want to fund. Mm-hmm. An independently administered levy, more funding for the NHS clinics. As I say, I don't think that's any of that is particularly radical. That is basically about bringing an industry that has got away with it, with acting how the hell it wants for so long, into the 21st century, into proper, making it a proper consumer sector.
Stake limits, basic consumer ombudsman, restrictions on advertising, more NHS funding for those with problems. It's hardly asking for the moon on a stick yesterday, is it? As Matt said, you're talking about an industry that has essentially been allowed to call the shots entirely on its own terms for a very long time. And it seems bizarre to me that the rules that other consumer sectors tend to be bound by, the gambling industry doesn't really seem to have to follow. It's a bit like banning flammable cladding on high-rises. You sort of think, is this sort of stuff not the law already? If not, how come? Calvin Finlay agrees. Calvin is a CW member and a former union rep from Banbury, and he's also a recovering gambling addict.
I started gambling really probably when I was 18, really. Started off with football pools. Some guy at work sort of gave me it, and then I sort of got into it that way. And I think I weren't really getting the buzz from doing the football pools. And then I started doing football accumulators, and it just then just spiraled out of control, really, and just gambled on anything what was sort of live to gamble on, really.
Calvin's story of becoming obsessed with gambling is similar to Matt's, and the stresses he faced will be familiar to many listening who have known or experienced similar circumstances.
Got paid every Friday, and I used to wake up in the early hours and basically just gambled near enough all my wages straight away. And
your wages just vanish overnight.
Yeah, more or less. I often did keep stuff for my bills, to be honest. But I gambled all my surplus income and then would get payday loans as well to try and claw back what I've lost as well.
Which is an exploitative industry in and of itself, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I used to, thousands of pounds worth of debt. And, just kind of was destroying my life, really.
Eventually, Calvin grew sick of his situation, as the instability gambling was causing in his life became more and more obvious. After spells of going in and out of recovery and constantly having to deal with debt, Calvin knew he had to hit it on the head a few years ago, going clean from gambling on the 20th September 2018, a date that now is quite literally tattooed on him. When he made his decision that day, he also decided he was going to tell people at work eventually about his fight, not just to put some pressure on him to keep at it, but also as a way of signalling to others who might also be in need of a bit of help that these things aren't impossible and you can turn things around.
I think it helps me the more people know, because if I become complacent, people can say, what are you doing sort of thing. So it gives me extra protection not to kind of slip up. But also, gambling is very big in the workplace. And I don't know, you kind of view that there's probably others what I've got gambling addictions. And I thought if I speak out and it helps one person, then, that's my kind of job done, really.
In the end, the reaction he got from his colleagues was solid, and this strength of workplace community and collectivity has given Calvin great encouragement to continue on.
The reaction was really positive. I know there's been people what I know what have, been addicted to drink, and they had previously, told everyone, and everyone's so supportive of them. So it kind of gave me the push to think actually, that they'd be supportive and would accept it. So, yeah. Everybody was really good and they were saying well done and, it really helps.
Outside of work, Calvin is involved in his local branch of Gamblers Anonymous, which seeks to provide help and mutual support for those who've been through similar situations. But he agrees with Matt that there needs to be wider solutions to this problem.
No, they obviously need to do like financial checks more. Never once was I questioned on my earnings. And, you know, if I would have been questioned on my earnings, you know, they would have seen I was spending way more than what I actually earned. You know, the times when I was gambling, like with payday loans and stuff. And yeah, and just basically, and also like the advertisement, it's everywhere. It's on like football shirts, you know, football stadiums are sponsored by, you know, betting companies. It's just kind of, it's a bit like, obviously all smoking adverts are banned now. You know, they used to be on Formula One cars and everything, you know, and it's like, you know, they need to kind of ban, my opinion is, like gambling adverts and everything, really.
We'll have to see how the year pans out for changing the gambling industry. Nobody would deny the scale of the challenges ahead, I wouldn't say. An industry like gambling, which for so long has been able to inform the government almost mafia style about how it chooses to conduct itself, is after all a hefty political force. Going up against that sort of entrenched power was always going to be difficult. That much should go without saying. But the issue can't be and shouldn't be avoided. Gambling is a question that faces the working class as a whole, and its dangers have a knock-on effect throughout the wider community. No truly healthy society would tolerate its number of gambling addicts rising into the millions, nor would any decent state of affairs let an industry that has the potential to wreak such social damage carry on with so little accountability attached to it. The current list of serious problems facing working people in this country just seems endless at the minute. But of all the challenges faced, it does seem like those fighting for lasting reforms and real regulations in gambling do feel confident about what they're doing and feel like they're on the offensive. I'll let Matt Zabkuzin come back here to have the final word on how best he thinks CW members can weigh in on behalf of anti-gambling campaigners so that we may strike a real positive note on this topic for this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of things. I mean, so if you had a have a look at cleanupgambling.com, and if you go to cleanupgambling.com/lobby, there is a template letter there that you can fire off to your MP. And please, I mean, it's worth doing 100%. Make your increase the salience of the issue with your MP. We're going to have probably end up, I think, in a bit of a fight in Parliament over this stuff. So if your MP knows that one of his constituents has been impacted by this or has strong views about it, engage with them, meet with them. That would be hugely helpful. I mean, obviously, there's a gambling review going on at the moment. There's probably going to be a consultation on the white paper. There may not be. It may be the government's thought, well, we've spent long enough doing this, we'll just crack on. But if there is, then obviously, like, keep your ear to the ground and keep following Clean Up Gambling on Twitter, and we'll obviously point people to that. If you are struggling with gambling, I recommend going to talkbanstop.com. That is three services, GamCare, the National Gambling Helpline, and GamStop, the self-exclusion register, and GamBan, which is a blocking software which I co-founded, which blocks access to gambling sites and apps on your devices, and you can get that for free through the National Gambling Helpline. So there's lots of support out there now, much more than when I was addicted, thankfully. And yeah, there's also the NHS clinics, which you can get referred to through your GP or directly. So yeah, have a look into that too. But yeah, there's lots of help out there. And if you are struggling with gambling, the best thing to do is to talk about it.
Thank you for listening to Affiliate, the CW podcast.